This is Stateside. I'm Lester Graham. This week, first, we heard the owners of the Detroit News were offering buyouts to all of the newspaper's editorial staff. And later in the week, we learned the owners of the Detroit Free Press were offering buyouts to 17 editorial staff. Without enough buyouts, both papers could end up laying off staff. It worries those of us who fear this might end in the death of one paper or the other. There are fewer than a dozen two-daily print newspaper towns left in the United States. Seattle, Washington used to be one, no longer. The Seattle Post-Intelligencer became online only, leaving only the Seattle Times printing a daily paper. Joining us now is editor-at-large and columnist for Seattle Magazine, Knut Berger. What does a city lose when it no longer has two daily papers?
Yeah, that's a great question. I've always described it as you lose the ability to see the city in three dimensions. It's kind of like going from being able to get multiple viewpoints and, you know, coverage that doesn't overlap, and then suddenly you're getting your sort of dominant view is a two-dimensional sort of flat screen. And, I think it's a real loss.
I remember when UPI didn't compete on the same level with AP anymore, and nationwide there was a feeling that without that competition, there just wasn't the edge, the drive for being first, being right kind of thing. I can see that happening in a local area. But I want to ask you about this particular thing in Seattle, because you've still got an online news service there with the Seattle PI. Most people get their newspaper stories on computer, a tablet, a phone anyway. So does having a print paper really make a difference?
Well, I think it makes a difference in a couple of ways. First of all, I mean, the economic model, it was successful, allowed for news or print publications to have fairly large newsrooms. And so the loss with the PI, I mean, you can go to the seattlepi.com website. There are a few writers left that were part of the paper, but by and large, you know, it's an aggregator with a few original stories. You just don't have the large newsroom of feisty reporters that you used to have. And meanwhile, the Seattle Times, the surviving paper, has had cutback after cutback. So what's really lost is the sort of level and depth of the content. The other thing is that having more than two newspapers, you know, allows you to have two different editorial staffs that may have very different views about what's important in the city. So they tend to cover more ground. And the ground they do cover that overlaps is often from a different perspective. So you may have one group that has more skeptical sports writers than the other, or you may have one that it emphasizes one kind of investigative reporting and the other, promotes a different kind. So you just lose a lot of diversity. You lose a lot of depth. You know, people here have responded to the loss.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that because nature abhors a vacuum. I mean, you know, is what fills the gap? Who steps in when there's an opportunity?
Yeah. Well, here we have two alternative newspapers, Seattle Weekly and The Stranger. The Seattle Weekly is kind of a shadow of its former self, but The Stranger has beefed up its news coverage. You know, it comes from a fairly, you know, sort of far left urban bias. They've really done well in terms of beefing up their reporting staff. They won a Pulitzer Prize a few years ago. So they've stepped into the thing. But even their publisher realizes that, you know, they couldn't do the job of covering the city, that the remaining daily, the Seattle Times, is an important part of the ecosystem. I also write for a nonprofit politics and culture website called crosscut.com, which is affiliated with a local public television station. So some nonprofit websites popped up like ours. And then some of the reporters who left got into various ventures. One of the great PI sports columnists, Art Thiel, started a website called Sports Press Northwest that does really great sports coverage. Other reporters went to Investigate West. So the nonprofit sector has sort of been stepping in, either nonprofit or low profit, has stepped in to try and fill some of that void.
I want to ask you, this is kind of an unrelated question, but it's really on the mind of journalists right now. There's a lot of concern about all the fake news sites. And when you, again, have an opportunity where you're not seeing the kind of coverage or complete coverage you might want to see, here's an opportunity for, I'll call them scammers, to step in. What do you think of that trend as mainstream media is weakened because not enough ad revenue and not enough readership in the newspapers?
You know, fake news is not a new thing, but certainly it's kind of a virus that's infected social media in a way that we haven't quite seen before. And I think one of the things that many of the old dailies built up over the years was credibility. And whether you agreed with their editorial page or not, in general, the daily newspapers embraced a very facts-oriented approach to coverage. And you could count on the stories there being factual, being true, whether or not you liked the news you were getting or not. And there's always some suspicion that, you know, the daily papers were biased, you know, based on what the view on the editorial page. Most people don't understand how that works. But
right. They don't understand that firewall. No, there's no doubt about that.
Yeah. And, you know, now we're seeing what happens when there's no firewall. There are no walls at all.
Right.
And the other thing, you know, I was editor of the alternative paper here for many years, the Seattle Weekly. And when I left, somebody asked me, well, what do you miss about it? And I said, the only thing I miss is the audience. Over a period of, you know, 25 years or so, our newspaper had cultivated a really great audience of very engaged, very civic-minded people. Daily newspapers have the same thing. Even though those audiences have shrunk, those people are interested in actual news. Mostly, they're people who are civically engaged. And when a newspaper goes away, those people tend to disperse. They don't necessarily flock to the next website or the next radio station or the next newspaper that comes along. So there's a tremendous loss in terms of those audiences that have been cultivated, in the case of the PI, cultivated over the course of more than a century.
Right.
And you can't go out and just replicate that.
I want to ask you something that you know print better than I. We hear about, you know, online competition has been a problem, loss of readership, loss of ad revenue. But the thing that I don't hear as much about outside of the print business, people outside of the print business talking about, is these large corporations buying up these newspapers, wanting more profit. And I'm wondering, are they wanting more profit than is possible for most of these news operations? And trying to become efficient only becomes scaling back to the point of elimination.
Well, I think the newspapers in the 20th century were sort of living a dream. They were making huge profits. Profit margins were, in some cases, particularly in markets where papers had monopolies, they could make 30-40% profit margin. I mean, it was really crazy, the kind of thing that maybe Microsoft was able to do in the early days. The economic model changed dramatically in multiple ways. And so people began consolidating newspapers and cutting costs in order to keep those profit margins or at least boost them substantially. But as the entire model, everything from, you know, Craigslist decimating classified business to things like box chain retailers replacing local retailers and the advertising in different ways. No, it's just had this dramatic effect. And the fact is that now the newspaper business is a very low profit, not necessarily quite nonprofit, but very low profit enterprise that has the ability to continue to generate revenues through print, but is seeing so much of its audience, you know, end up online where there isn't a guaranteed revenue model that works. So they're really stuck. I mean, it's sort of like you've got a foot on a boat and a foot on the dock, and the two are going in opposite directions.
That's Knute Berger. He's editor-at-large and columnist for Seattle Magazine, also formerly a longtime editor at the Seattle Weekly. Hey, thanks for your insights. I appreciate it.
Yeah, you bet.